For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Salvation and Healing is Not Bought, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
I feel that it is criminal and manifestly wrong for these ministers who are constantly begging people for their dollars. And you know, it's almost as bad as the time in the Roman church when they sold indulgences. You want to get your prayer answered? Send your offering in to us, you know. You've got an unsaved son, send your offering to us and God will save him. You know, you can buy salvation for your son, you can buy healing for your mother, you can buy, you know, all kinds of indulgences. It's made out to be that way in these phony fundraising drives. If those who were soliciting those funds would live very simple lives, not live in a lavish style, then I could accept it. But when these same ones who are begging these poor little widows to sacrifice from their Social Security checks to send in to them, and they themselves are living a very high style of life, I find it intolerable. Paul the Apostle, I think I really identify and love this guy because he had much the same attitude that I have as far as money is concerned. He said, hey, I don't want your money. I won't take your money. I glory in the fact that I was able to provide for myself and the needs of my party while I was there, and we didn't take anything from you. And I'd rather be dead than to lose this bit of glorying that I had, that I did not take money from you. Though, as an apostle, I had every right. God has ordained that those that minister the gospel should live of the gospel. That is right. The ox is not to be muzzled. God, if he takes care of the ox, surely takes care of his servants that are out preaching his word. The priest lived by the things of the altar. I had every right to. But yet I didn't. Because I didn't want to be an offense. I didn't want to stumble somebody to think that I was, you know, trying to enrich myself through the preaching of the gospel. I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be done unto me. I'm not trying to make an appeal now, Paul said. That's not the purpose for my saying these things. For it were better that I be dead than some man make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm not preaching it for the glory or for the money. There's a necessity laid on me. There's a burden on my heart. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For if I do this thing willingly, then I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So Paul said, I'm doing this willingly. Thus I have my reward, because I'm doing it willingly for the Lord. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I love that. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Oh, how I thank God that our radio ministry does not depend upon the listeners for the support. How I thank God that we can go on the radio around the country and not have to spend 15 minutes a day in urging the people to support us this week, or we won't be on the air next week. I thank the Lord that we can just freely minister the gospel to people around the country, blowing their minds because they wonder, how in the world is this program supported? It's supported because God has laid upon the hearts of the people here to give, and it's more than we need, so we just use the excess to get the gospel out around the world. And you know what? The more we give, the more the Lord sends in. That's the amazing thing. We've been trying to outgive God. And every time we take on new stations and put more money into the radio to spread the word out further, the more God blesses, the more the supplies come in. And so we have seen the radio ministry expand from the original 25 to over 120 stations and another over 100 stations on Sunday broadcast only. Plus cable television around the country. And we can do it without charge. And that's the glorious thing. Not looking for the support of the people, but just looking to God for His supply. Paul said, "For though I am really free from all men," you know, "I don't owe you anything. I haven't taken anything from you. So I am free of all men. Yet have I made myself the servant unto all that I might gain the more." I'm really free from you, but I've made myself a servant that I might gain more. "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as also without law, yet not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I by all means might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." So Paul, seeking to identify with people, not setting himself above people and preaching down to people, but coming down on their level, seeking to understand where they are, seeking to identify with them in such a way that they could identify with Paul so that he could lead them to the strength and the power that they might know through Jesus Christ. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain." And so again, Paul sees the Christian life as a race. He said to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course." The idea of the race. If Paul was the author of Hebrews, and I personally feel he was, he also made reference to the race. "Wherefore, laying aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Now, life is as a race, but Paul says, run to win. I like that. I have enough competitive spirit in me, I don't play to lose. Whenever I go out in any sport, I go out to win. That's almost a fault. It has been a real fault in my life. My desire to win is so great that if there's any place I can lose my composure, it's when there's been a bad call. I'm out to win. Hey, Paul said, be that way in your life for Christ. go all out. So run that you might obtain the prize. Every man that strives for the mastery, that is a term for the wrestling. The Olympics were held in Athens, but they had also the second largest athletic events in the world were held in Corinth. And so those in Corinth were very familiar with the athletes who would be training for the games of Corinth. Fellow who is working out wrestling is temperate in all things. That is, he lives a very disciplined life. As he is getting his body into shape. And they are doing it, he said, for a corruptible crown. They are putting their bodies through torturous exercises in order that they might develop their athletic skills. They are watching their diet. They are living very careful, disciplined lives in order that they might win their event so that the judges would put a little laurel wreath on their head. A laurel wreath that will soon dry out. A corruptible crown. Now, if they're willing to put in so much time, so much energy, so much effort, so much discipline to receive a gold medal, how much more effort should we be putting in to gain the incorruptible crown of glory that God has promised to his faithful servants? Run to win. And Paul said, I run that way. I therefore so run. I run to win. Not as uncertainty. That is, not careless, not just, well, I hope I finish, you know. Doesn't matter. No, sir, I'm running with the intention of winning. So fight I, not as one who is beating there, not as a shadow boxer. But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. I discipline, Paul said, my own body, keeping it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. Now, Paul talks about the discipline, keeping his body under. Man is a threefold being, body, mind, spirit. The natural man is body, mind, spirit. When a person is born again, he is inverted and he becomes spirit, mind, and body. The natural man, body, mind, and spirit, the mind is under the control of the body, which is uppermost. So the unregenerate man, the sinner, is a man who is aware and conscious of the body and the body needs and the body appetites. And that's all he thinks about. And that, you know, all you have to do is open up your ears in the public and you hear what people talk about. What are they talking about? Their fleshly experiences. The gal they had last weekend. Some new bar that's opened up. Some disco. Fleshly body experiences. That is their mind. That's where their minds run in that area. When a person is born again by the Spirit and he becomes spirit, mind, and body, then the mind is under the control of the Spirit and he is thinking about spiritual things, how he may please God. He's thinking about the Word of God. He's thinking about his walk with Jesus Christ. He's thinking about the Lord. He's singing about the Lord. His minds are on the things of the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that the person whose minds are upon the things of the flesh is dead. But the person whose mind is upon the things of the Spirit is alive and he has peace and he has joy. Now, when I am born again and I am now spirit, soul, and body, My body down here doesn't like it in the basement. My body enjoyed sitting on the throne. It enjoyed ruling over me. It enjoyed its tyranny that it had over me, and it doesn't like being underneath. And thus my body is constantly trying to rise. I'm not dead to the desires of my flesh. They are there. They are always there as long as I am living in this body. But my desires for the Lord and the things of the Lord are greater than my desires for the flesh. But I find that I have to keep my body under. For my body would love to come and begin to rule again and put the spirit under. So Paul said, I discipline myself to keep the body under, not giving over to the things of my flesh, lest even in this area of having ministered to others, I myself would be disapproved. And there are those who say that Paul is here talking about his service to God, put on the shelf, so to speak. So it is important for us to keep the body under, to discipline ourselves in spiritual disciplines. If the athletes are willing to go through such discipline just to receive a corruptible crown, how much more should we discipline ourselves for the incorruptible crown of life that the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give to us and to all those who love his appearing? Paul tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary. I am in a battle within, and I must discipline myself to keep the body under. Chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. Now he's talking about their forefathers who were delivered out of Egypt. God used the cloud to guide them by day and the pillar of fire by night. The cloud had more than just a guiding. They were under the cloud. They were going to be spending time in that hot desert. And so what did God do? He put a cloud over them that shielded them from that hot desert. And whenever the cloud would move, they would move. And that's wisdom when you're out in the desert. And so God made a very great way of guiding them. The cloud would move and they would move to stay under the cloud. Now when they had come to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army came up behind them and had trapped them here in the valley, God took the cloud and he moved it behind them and let it settle between them and the Egyptians so the Egyptians couldn't see what was happening because of the fog, the cloud that had come down, and they couldn't see that the sea had departed and that the children of Israel were all escaping to the other side. And when God lifted the cloud, they saw what happened. They saw the sea parted. They went dashing into the sea, and of course the Lord allowed the sea to come back and they were drowned. But the cloud had a purpose more than just guiding them. It was a shelter to them. They lived under the cloud, walking when the cloud moved, living in the will of God, being guided by God through that wilderness experience. And how glorious it is that God will guide us, shelter us, as we seek to walk after his will. They passed through the sea, which is a symbol of water baptism, coming out of the life of the flesh in Egypt into a new relationship with God. And they were all baptized. You see that symbolism there of passing through the sea unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did eat the same spiritual meat. God gave them the manna, the bread from heaven that they all ate. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so you remember, as the children of Israel came to Moses, they're in the area of Rephidim, the wilderness, and they said, "We're about to die of thirst. Our cattle and all are about to die. What are we going to do?" And Moses went in and cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, help me. These people are ready to stone me." And God said, "Take your rod that you used to strike the river in Egypt to turn it to blood. And with the elders before the people, strike the rock." And so he took his rod and he smote the rock, and water came forth. And the people drank and lived. They were saved. They drank, all of them, of that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ.
Gather the kids. It's story time with Pastor Chuck. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck shares with every child how Noah practiced godly principles, trusted God through the storm, and why God kept his family safe. Your children will discover how God gave the animals an instinct to enter the ark and see Noah's incredible obedience and faith in action. And the best part? This story helps you teach your children the same valuable truth. They can choose to obey God too. With 40 full-color illustrated pages, this book is perfect for ages 2 to 8 and includes an audio CD so your little ones can follow along with Pastor Chuck again and again. It's never too early to start reading Bible stories and imprinting God's Word on their hearts. Order your copy of The Story of Noah today from The Word for Today by calling 1-800-272-9673 or visiting twft.com. You'll also find many other resources to help your family grow in faith, one story at a time.
May the Lord be with you. And may the blessings of the Lord surround your life as you walk with Him. May you experience the joys of His power, of His presence, and of His glory as God day by day showers you with His goodness and with His love. May you begin to experience greater victory in your walk with Jesus Christ as you yield yourself to that touch of God and as He molds and shapes you into that person He wants you to be, as He conforms you into the image of Jesus Christ. And so may God bless you, and may God work in your life this week in a very special way, and may faith be increased as you study His Word.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message to Praying to God the Father, and He emphasizes the power. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.